Hail to the brightness of Zion's glad morning, says long by prophets foretold. I don't know if I quoted that exactly, but that I was blessed by those songs, blessed by what we've heard this morning. William read the account there in Luke 2, and Brother Joe is going to bring a message this morning on, I'm not sure what he's titled it, but Christ's birth and some of that, so I'm not going to go into that, but I want to think just a few minutes here about the prophecy about the birth of Jesus, the prophecies. How many prophecies do we have in the Old Testament foretelling Jesus' coming, his life, death, and resurrection? Anyone want to venture to guess, or do you know? How many prophecies are there? 200, 300, 400? Okay, 300 is in the middle. So that varies how you slice it, I guess. I mean, there can be one. The highest I read was 456. So there's a lot of prophecies that are in the Old Testament. There's scholars that say that the likelihood that any one person could satisfy just eight of those prophecies about the Messiah is 1 in the 10th to the 17th power. Now, how many of you know what the 10th to the 17th power is? How far back do we have to go here? Over here. How many high schoolers? What is that? Anybody? So it's 100 quadrillion. Take the a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. That's numbers beyond my... That's so far out there. To give us a little bit of an idea, who can tell me what this is right here? What do you think it is? Silver dollar. It's a 1922 silver dollar. Now, I'm going by somebody else's calculations here. So, but if you take that many silver dollars, it would cover the state of Texas 2 feet deep. This number, this 100 quadrillion. So that's a huge number, and that's a lot of silver dollars. If there was one in the state of Texas, if there was one that was marked, one anointed silver dollar that was in that hole 2 foot deep, and you were looking for that in Webster County, that would look impossible. That would look just about. If you would be over the state of Missouri, that would be, to think of finding that quarter in that pile 2 foot deep across the whole state of Missouri. And the state of Texas is about four times the size of the state of Missouri. But Missouri's got about 70,000 square miles, and Texas has about four times that much. So that's a number that, even that I can't, just imagine that. That chance that these things would just happen to one person is, and how that's all put together and how they come up with those odds, I can't tell you that. But there's not only eight, there wasn't just eight prophecies, there was 300 or more. So we have these prophecies of Jesus. We heard some of them this morning. We sang some of them. The thing that I think is important is that we think of those prophecies all came to pass. And they were written over such a huge span of time. And just to do we question the inspiration of the Word of God? And then the one that was all these prophecies pointed to, Christ coming, he said, I am coming again. He's coming again. So we I don't think anybody here would argue. We would say we know he came. We believe he came as a babe. And he was crucified. He died. He gave his life for us. But he is just as sure as he came that time, he is coming again. And if we really believe that, are we living like that? You know, isn't that what's really important? Is that we understand that he is coming again, and we can look forward to that time. I'm just going to read a few of the prophecies here. The first one in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we know this is a person, this is a man that is coming to bruise the serpent's head. Genesis 12:1, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So this is going on through Abraham. Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So there we go back to Bethlehem, the roots there, Jesse, David's father. You know, when King David was anointed king by Samuel, he was not the one Samuel or Jesse, his dad, thought that God would choose. In fact, he wasn't even called in for the ceremony. He was left out taking care of the sheep. And if we go back a little bit here, David's great-grandparents were Boaz and Ruth. And Ruth was a Moabitess, a group of people that you would not expect. They did not expect to be that the lineage of Christ would be in that lineage. I think it was a picture that made it clear that Christ was coming to redeem all mankind. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, thou shalt be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So here's talking about Bethlehem, and how, you know, what a chance was that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It was, you know, they went to Bethlehem to be taxed. It was not something that they wanted to do. It was not a place that they wanted to go. It was not a time that they appreciated. It's something they had to do. They had to go pay these taxes. And that's what this prophecy was fulfilled there. Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And then we have Psalms 22, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. They're talking about before the crucifixion. And finally, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with just judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So if we want to be a part of that kingdom, when he comes again, we must be a part of that kingdom today. Let's bow our heads for prayer.